of us, that's the greatest treasure that any human being can ever experience. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, cause growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
It's indeed a privilege to be here this morning and just to think of what God has done so that we might worship him. And that's the thought that's been running through my mind during this time of worship, that it's the grace of God that has provided Jesus Christ. It's the grace of God that gives us the privilege right now of worshiping and continue to worship. So we thank our great God for his grace. Will you join me now in prayer as we look at this passage before us? God will speak to us today. We need his help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, a grace that has saved us, a grace that has delivered us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, a grace that will transform us now and continue to do so until we stand before you. And that grace will deliver us from the very presence of sin. Thank you, Father, that what you started, you will complete. What you begin, you will finish. And Father, you do it. It's your work. We respond to you. We trust you. We receive by faith what you've given. And God, even that receiving, we acknowledge this morning is a work, your work in our hearts and lives. And as we now come before you and we open our ears and our eyes to your word, God, we ask for your help. Father, we desperately need it. It's so easy for our thoughts and our minds to be pulled in so many directions, and yet, God, we need attention. We need to be focused this morning as we look at this truth. Help us as a church. Help us as individual members of the church to understand by your Spirit this morning how the church is to function. And God, by doing so, bring great glory to you through Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 I want to give you three words this morning that will summarize God's blueprint for the function of the church. We've looked at these now for a few weeks. First of all, there is unity. We found out in our study of Ephesians chapter 4 that there is unity in position. We are in Christ Jesus. We have found out also that there is unity in practice. We maintain this unity. We guard this unity by the practice or the actions of humility, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. We've also found out in our study of this passage that there is unity in doctrine. We believe that there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And we look at those words of the Apostle Paul, and unity, togetherness just oozes from this passage. One, 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 one. There is unity in the body of Christ. A second word we would share with you this morning is the word diversity. In the midst of this unity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit has given to believers different and diverse spiritual abilities. We call them spiritual gifts. And these gifts are to be used within the body of Christ to build one another up and to glorify God. So we're different. Different in how we function, different in what we do within the body of Christ. And folks, that's diversity. Diversity in the body. The third word is maturity. There is spiritual growth. There is sanctification. There is growing in Christ. There is becoming like Christ. We have much to say about this word maturity, but put these words together because these three words summarize God's plan for church growth. It's God's desire that Faith Baptist Church of Iowa City grows or matures into Christ. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, we have in one complete sentence. As Brother David was reading that passage, this smile just came to my face because that's one sentence. Verses 11 through 16, one sentence. The Apostle Paul gives us God's blueprint, His plan, this method of maturity. And so what we have before us then is God's plan for church growth. It always amuses me. You read magazines or you read articles, you look at things about people saying this is how the church grows. This is church growth. You have to do this for the church to grow. This is necessary for church growth. And folks, we have it right here. Right here, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Faith Baptist Church, do you want to grow in Christ? Do you want to grow as individuals? Do you want to grow corporately as members of the body of Christ? Here's how it takes place. Let's look now at Ephesians 4, and we'll begin with verse 11. Notice, first of all, that maturity requires certain participants. We talked about this the last time we met, last Sunday, but again we mention that Christ gives gifted people to the church. Look at verse 11. Paul says, and He Himself, that's Jesus, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And so the ascended Lord Jesus Christ has given to the church gifts. We see that in verse 7. He gives to the church gifts, and folks, these gifts are people with special abilities. Now, of course, these are not the only gifts. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and the Scripture talks more about these gifts. Paul specifically talks about gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 4. So this is not the only place that we find out truth about these gifts, but we have learned in our study that every believer has been given special spiritual abilities to use within the body of Christ. You know, right now the thought that's running through my mind is, you know, I've said that a lot in the past few weeks as we've looked at this passage. Every believer has a spiritual gift. Every believer has a special ability, supernatural ability, given to that believer by Jesus Christ. But I can't say it enough because this is so critical to how the church functions. So Paul focuses here on a certain group of men who serve the church. Now, who are they? Again, we looked at this last week, but it's worth mentioning it again. We learned in our last study that to the church, Christ has given, notice, apostles and prophets. So these men were the foundations of the church. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. They were given revelation directly from God to share with the early church who had no completed scripture. The Old Testament was complete. The New Testament was in the process of being written. And so these apostles and these prophets, they were spoken to by God. God gave them revelation. They spoke it. They wrote it down. That's how we got the New Testament. These men were temporary. They were not replaced at their deaths. Leadership was passed on to faithful men who followed their teaching. That's the apostles and the prophets. Paul also says here that Christ gave to the church evangelists and pastors and teachers. And so to the early church and to the church today, God has given, or Christ has given, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The evangelist planted churches by preaching Christ, sharing the gospel, teaching doctrine, bringing believers to maturity, appointing leaders in the church, and then moving on to start other churches. The pattern that we see comes from the book of Acts and the ministry of the Apostle Paul and his helpers in Asia Minor. Our modern day missionary church planters are the evangelists today. But then Paul also mentions the pastors and teachers. Some would say that that term goes together, pastors, teachers. Others would say pastors and teachers. But I think the point will be the same. You see, God has given, Christ has given to the church those who will teach the Word of God. And whether it be teaching shepherds, in the New Testament, these men are called pastors, they're called elders, they're called overseers. Whether it be those who teach and explain and bring forth the Word of God, these people are important to the church. These gifted people are given the responsibility to ensure that unity and maturity within the body of Christ takes place. They had specific responsibilities to a last group of participants that we see in this passage. And notice that Christ gives gifted men to the church, look at verse 12, for the equipping of the saints. Paul says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Look at that word, saints. Do you see it? Brother David Martin, these are not the New Orleans saints. These are not some special, super holy people in the church. The word saint literally means holy ones. But they're the believers. They're the church. They are all those who were set apart by God for salvation. They are called saints. And the New Testament makes this very clear. The Apostle Paul wrote to believers in the city of Corinth, and he addressed that letter to those who were called to be saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. When Paul wrote to the believers in the city of Rome, he addressed this letter to all who were in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. And therefore, folks, saints are not some special people who have been set aside for sainthood and to whom we pray. If we think that, then we've been influenced by false teaching, by error in teaching. So look around this morning. Those people who were here today, who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who are in union with God through Jesus Christ, connected to Jesus Christ by God's grace through faith, those people are saints. Saints. The saints have gathered here this morning for worship. Every person here today who is in Christ is a saint. As a matter of fact, there's no church without saints. Amen. The church is saints. So please then, think about and understand the importance of each and every member, each and every part of the local church. We're all saints, and we've all been given different abilities to be used within the whole group of the saints, which is called the church. And therefore, folks, every member of the body of Christ is a servant. And every member of the local church is a minister with a ministry. And every member of the local church is to minister or to serve one another. Every part of the local church is a saint. And so in God's plan, the participants for maturity and growth are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and the saints. Do you know what that means? That means that we have everything right here. Everything that we need for maturity, for growth, we have that right here at Faith Baptist Church. God is gracious. Everything that we need. Now look at verse 12, because in Ephesians 4:12, we see a second requirement, and this is where we want to land this morning. Maturity requires a simple progression. Here in verse 12, the Apostle Paul, in the clearest of terms, gives the progression of God's plan. He says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here it is, step by step. If you like those three-step things, well, Paul gives us a three-step progression. The gifted men equip, the saints serve, and the church grows. So let's begin to look at this progression this morning. Notice that the gifted men equip. So the first task within God's plan is for the gifted men to equip the saints. Now, before we look at Paul's statement in some detail, let's get this whole picture of what Paul was saying here. Because the church as a living organism is alive and it's rooted in the grace of God. But the church exists both corporately and individually in immature form. It's made up of all kinds of believers in many different levels of spiritual growth who need to be built up as individuals and at the same time built up corporately. And therefore, we become like Christ individually. But now get this, because Paul will take us here in this passage. As we grow individually in Christ, then the body grows in Christ. As we become like Christ, then the body as a whole becomes like Christ. And see, we can say that about individual local churches, but now get this, because if you put all the local churches together and they're following God's plan, all the local churches, the church throughout the world, is becoming like Christ. How powerful is that? I mean, how wondrous is that, that God has given us an opportunity right here at Faith Baptist Church in this body of believers as individuals to become like Christ and as a body, as a group, to become like Jesus Christ. The whole body grows in Christ as we individually grow in Christ. Now, the real emphasis in Christian ministry then is seen in the words of the Apostle Paul here. The ministry then is people. And folks, there can be no more worthy purpose for the believer, for you, for me, than the investing of your life or my life in the lives of others to bring them to maturity. As a young Christian who desired to serve the Lord, I missed this truth. See, I had this great desire to serve, but I didn't understand the purpose. And it wasn't until I studied this passage and I spent time in this passage by the Apostle Paul that I began to understand God's purpose and God's plan and God's blueprint for the church. It's the equipping of the saints. You see, the focus is people. The goal was to bring people, the saints, to maturity. Now, this is expressed in many ways in the Scripture. We've said this before. It's called spiritual growth. It's called sanctification. It's called edification, maturity, discipleship, becoming like Jesus Christ. But folks, it all comes back to people. It's people becoming mature. It's followers of Jesus Christ becoming like Jesus Christ. And therefore, our goal is not buildings. And our goal was not property, and our goal was not bank accounts, and our goal was not the busyness of programs. But brothers and sisters, our goal for the glory of God and by His grace is to bring men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ and then give ourselves to help them in growing into Christ. And as we help them as individuals to grow in Christ, then the church, the body of Christ, grows and becomes like Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with the buildings or the programs or things like that, but only as they are effectively used to equip the saints. And brothers and sisters, the Scripture is very, very clear. The work of the ministry is people. We labor at the long-range goal of seeing brothers and sisters established and growing within the body of Christ. And that's why I just smile when I see church growth experts say, you have to have this, and you have to have this, and you have to have this, you have to have a building, you have to have this property, you have to have this kind of program, you have to have this kind of music. And you know, you look into the Scriptures, you don't have to have any of that. You don't have to have any of that. All you have to have is the gifts that Christ has given to the church, and those gifted people that Christ has given function and equip the saints who then do the work of the ministry. And you know what happens? The church is edified and the church is built up. Oh, how simple it is. But I say simple, but difficult, because we are so easily pulled either by the world around us or by our own sin nature or by what the experts say. And brothers and sisters, this is the expert. This is what God says. And this is what we see very clearly in this passage. So with that then, let's look closely at what Paul says here. He says, for the equipping of the saints. This word equipping, some translation says perfecting. This equipping or perfecting means to be made complete, mature, to be furnished. The word is used in the New Testament to describe the mending or the preparing of fishing nets. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. The same word is used to describe the restoration of a sinning believer. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, the word was used outside the New Testament to describe the setting of a bone that was broken or dislocated. And when I thought about that definition, or I thought about how that word was used, I think there's an important truth there. There's a thought here we need to land on. When bones are dislocated, the particular limb to which they belong is not complete. It's not perfect. But when they're set or when they're reset, they are again put into right alignment and the limb becomes complete again. So the idea then in this word is that all of those different parts and portions of the body of Christ should be put into the right alignment. They should be properly adjusted so that each one can be fully developed and function according to their purpose. So here was an action where persons or things are properly conditioned for use. Now, when we think about the body of Christ, it's persons, it's people. It's where the people, the members of the body, are positioned for use and properly aligned for function. Now, in regards to the conditioning of Christians for service, the Scripture talks about this. Hold your place, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. My pages are sticking. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and look at verse 11. Paul says this. He says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete." There it is. Become complete. "Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." He says to these Corinthians, become complete. Become equipped, become conditioned for use. Become aligned, is what he says. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and look at verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Same word that Paul uses here in Ephesians. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. The writer ends the letter with this truth. What a statement. He says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete." There it is. "Make you complete in every good work to do His will." And then look at this, "working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters, God's desire, God's plan is that individual members of the body of Christ, the church, be equipped or perfected or conditioned for use or be brought to maturity or completion. And God, according to His plan, uses these gifted people. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. This is what evangelists do. This is what pastors do. This is what teachers do. We think about pastors just for a moment. The pastors of this church have been given the God-given responsibility to equip or condition you for use by the Lord. So how does this take place? Overall, how do the evangelists and how do the pastor teachers or how do teachers equip the saints? And very simply, it's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. Go back to Ephesians 4. Because if we look through this passage, you can see that Paul, he touches on this truth of the Word of God. In verse 13, he says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God." Where do we get this knowledge? From the Word of God. Verse 14, Ephesians 4:14, "That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." You see, these gifted people are to protect the saints, and they do that through the Word of God. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. You see, folks, the saints are equipped by the Word of God. Now, I'd like to take just a few minutes and go to 1 Timothy. So go to 1 Timothy, and let's just work our way down through some statements that the Apostle Paul makes to Timothy. Timothy is ministering in the church of Ephesus. He's Paul's representative there, and he's helping the church. He's actually following this blueprint that God gives in Ephesians chapter 4. But let's look at some statements here that confirm what we're saying. Here's what Paul says to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine or teaching which you have carefully followed." That was very important to the church at Ephesus. This was what Timothy was to do. And he would be a good minister if he instructs the brethren in these things. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says to Timothy, "Till I come, give attention or give yourself to reading, to exhortation, to teaching, or to doctrine." In other words, Timothy, give yourself to this. Give attention to this. This is what the church needs. This is what you need. Reading, exhortation, teaching. Where's that come from? From the Word of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Apostle Paul writes this letter and he says to Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." In other words, hold fast to the truth, Timothy. Hold fast to this doctrine or this teaching that you've heard from me. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see that, folks, over and over as Paul speaks to Timothy. And Timothy's ministering in this church at Ephesus. He tells him how to do this. He gives him his responsibility. It's the Word of God, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verses 16 and 17. Familiar words. Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped." And look at this. "For every good work." Every good work. You see, one of the challenges we face, Pastor Jake mentioned, we live in this information age and people are gathering information. One of the challenges is we gather the wrong information. Here is a statement from the Word of God through the Apostle Paul that the Word of God, and by the way, when Paul wrote this, he had primarily in mind the Old Testament because the New Testament was being written. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it will equip us and it will prepare us for every good work. See, that's the sufficiency of the Word of God. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, look what Paul says. He says to Timothy, "Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Folks, we could look at the same truths when Paul wrote to Titus, and he emphasized the same thing. We could look at the words of the writer of Hebrews, and several times in that book he emphasized, well, more than several, many times, he emphasized the importance of the Word of God. Those believers needed to grow, and they weren't. And so the writer focuses their attention on the Word of God. The saints are equipped when evangelists and pastors and teachers preach and teach the Word of God. Now, I grew up with a diet of topical preaching. Now, I don't mean topical preaching in the sense of looking at a specific biblical doctrine. It's valuable to do that. It's valuable to look at specific truths, specific doctrines, examine it. Examine what the Word of God says throughout the Scriptures about a certain topic. But when I say I grew up with a diet of topical preaching, I grew up where a preacher would stand before the people and he would read a verse or a passage, and then only God knows where he would go in that passage. Because he would go anywhere he wanted to. And he would just preach or proclaim about anything. He would go to a verse and then he would just go someplace. I grew up with that. But by the grace of God, the truth that I received, God used that and he helped me to grow with that truth. And I praise God for that. But folks, I remember the first time that I heard a man preach from a passage of Scripture where he presented the Scripture in its historical setting and its contextual setting and its literal setting. And he took that passage of Scripture and he brought the then into the now. See, and I'm thinking about that right now and it touches my heart, because as a teenager, my heart burned with the truth of God's Word. And I realized later that it was God who was taking His Word of truth and He was changing me. And I didn't know it at the time, but God was plowing some fertile ground in my own life, which would result in that teenager later teaching and preaching the Word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that these gifted men must present, because it's the Word of God that brings us to completion and brings us to maturity. It's the Spirit of God working through the Word of God that does that in our lives. Now, we step back and we say, well, is that all that a pastor teacher does? Of course not. But this is the primary God-given responsibility. Brothers and sisters, in the simplest of terms, this is the blueprint. This is how the church functions. This is God's functional plan for the local church in bringing that church to maturity. You know, folks, there are churches out there that will never grow spiritually. And one of the reasons is they don't follow God's blueprint. It's time for believers in churches. It's time for us to be reminded that here at Faith Baptist Church, God has given us a blueprint for function, and we need to follow it. I want to end this morning in a very practical way, so let me do that by putting it in the form of a question. Are you receiving the gifts that Jesus Christ has given to the church? Here's what I mean. Christ has given to this body of believers gifted people in the form of pastors and teachers. And these pastors and teachers have a responsibility given by Jesus Christ to equip you for works of service so that the whole body can be built up. So my question is, are you receiving the gifts? Are you receiving these gifts from Jesus Christ? Are you putting yourself in the position to be equipped by these gifted people? And let me remind you that this equipping is taking place on a regular basis at Faith Baptist Church. You see, Faith Bible Fellowships meet at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. There is Sunday school for children. There's preaching of God's Word in our worship services. There's Wednesday night Bible studies. There's Wednesday night Truth Trackers. There's Wednesday night youth ministry. There's Tuesday ladies' Bible studies. There's Tuesday college Bible studies. There's Tuesday discipleship studies. There are ladies' Bible studies on Monday. There are groups that meet at other times throughout the week where the Word of God is taught. But see, my question is, are you receiving the gifts? Are you putting yourself in the position where you are being equipped for works of service so that the body can be edified? There is a progression that Paul gives. The gifted men equip, the saints serve, and the church grows. The coming weeks, we'll continue to look at Ephesians chapter 4 as we understand God's blueprint for the local church. Let's bow our heads. Father, may our response this morning be submission. May our response this morning be obedience. Father, may we cry out to you right now. Help me to obey. May we look with spiritual eyes and with a heart that desires to glorify you, these simple words by Paul, your words. And Father, may we look at our lives and our function and our service within this local body of believers. And Father, may we humble ourselves in obedience before you. Thank you for your plan. May we submit to it. We give you glory and honor and praise. You're deserving of it. Yes. Through Jesus Christ, our great Savior. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.